Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
I'm joined by John Moran, Mayor of Limerick, of course, former Secretary General in the Department of Finance, and he has announced a 10 million euro plan to transform city and county, involving things like modular homes to try to ease the housing crisis, and the conversion of a Derrick Garda station into a fashion museum, new parks, all of that kind of stuff. Before we get to the discussion of those plans, we were speaking earlier in the programme to Kenny Jacobs, who was reacting to suggestions from Mary Considine, the chief executive of Shannon Airport, that there needed to be a rebalancing, and that rather than fretting about the Dublin Airport passenger cap, that one of the simple solutions was actually getting the passengers and the planes to use Shannon. Here was Kenny Jacobs' reaction.
Look, I wish Shannon, you know, Godspeed with growth. It's absolutely up to them to grow their airport. I think the idea that I would take exception to, and it's not necessarily as Mary comes today, over the past couple of years, there has been a suggestion that, you know, damaging Dublin by restricting it or capping it will absolutely support the regional airports. And we, the airlines, everybody who knows how aviation actually works has come out and said that's a nonsense. That's not the way to do that. So what we should do is what the government are doing, back Dublin and back all the regional airports.
Well, John Moran, you have skin in this game. Is he right? Is it a nonsense that Shannon could take up some of the slack?
Look, Shannon could do a load more. Shannon already has like 3 million of slack that it's not being used, right? I just find it a bit sad that every time we have these conversations, and I've been on one or two of myself, there sort of seems to be this view that there's only one view in aviation. I mean, I worked in GPA for a number of years doing stuff. I was on the board of Shannon. There's lots of people on the board of Shannon that have experience in aviation as well. So there's not this monopoly of the truth that we seem to be hearing from people that argue in favour of Dublin. I mean, the point we used to always make is that if you look at the way, say, cities like Paris, for example, work, the airport, or indeed London, the airport that is the strategic airport concentrates on strategic routes. Charles de Gaulle concentrates on strategic routes. Heathrow does. They are the absolute necessity for Ireland as a country in terms of Dublin Airport. But the short hop stuff in and out of Europe, the connecting up of Cork Airport or Shannon Airport to a hub in Europe, that's actually good for the country. That's good management and good planning in terms of the country. And it's not going to be right. I mean, it's the same thing. We don't leave planning of buildings and apartments to the speculators and the developers. We shouldn't leave aviation policy to the airlines to decide where they want to operate. I mean, we should be picking and doing what's right. They do it differently in Paris and they do it differently in London. They charge so much for the slots in Heathrow and such limited capacity in Charles de Gaulle that people move down to the other airport at Orly, which ironically, getting from Charles de Gaulle to Orly across Paris on a good, you know, Wednesday afternoon could probably take you as long as it would take to get from Dublin City Airport to Shannon if we got the last bit of a train that we've been looking for to link up Shannon Airport into the...
So why do you think that focus hasn't happened? Why do you think the government... Why hasn't there been a national policy plan around that kind of rebalancing?
Look, I, you know, Kenny keeps talking about this cap, right, as do others. I sound like an equal broken record on the other side, arguing for better regional development. The whole thing needs to be pulled together. I mean, we've seen how we're taking the water from the... you know, the West Coast across to the East Coast. We're building data centers in the East Coast that are using water and energy that's actually more plentifully available on the West Coast. We haven't invested in the train connectivity of our cities across the rest of Ireland. We all know, we've looked at a map, all roads lead in and out of Dublin. And it's decades and decades of continuous conversations like that and decisions that have led to this. I mean, I was jokingly suggesting last night, but in a way I'm serious. Why is the Arda Chalice, which was found in Limerick and could be a huge tourist attraction, sitting in a room in the National Museum in Dublin, where we have lots of attractions? Let's move some of that stuff around.
Well, this to some extent puts it up to you now, because you have the mayoral role that allows you some control over this kind of thing. The plan that you have, the headline figure is 10 million. If that's accurate, it seems a drop in the ocean to achieve what you need to
achieve. And that's the real point. I mean, that's the sad point about the whole thing. I mean, at the time that we were arguing for this role, and obviously I'm the first mayor, and as I said once, I hope to be the mayor, the first directly elected mayor with the least amount of power and the least amount of budget. You know, 10 million is actually only about 1% of what's spent in Limerick by Limerick City Council itself. But compared to the budget of the national budget, it's just a drop in the ocean. And that's why a lot of the focus has been about messaging, about trying out pilots, about trying to bring stuff through the approval process that we already have in Ireland to then unlock more funds for Limerick. But
the funds to do what? Is housing prime
among
your goals?
Knows we're in a major housing crisis, right? I mean, right through the election, a lot of what I had said, I mean, you'll remember I was not just in the Secretary General of the Department of Finance, I was on the board of the LDA. I was involved in a lot of
the Land Development Authority.
The Land Development Authority Agency. I was involved in a lot of conversations about housing. And I think that, again, we're kind of on the same message, right? I mean, one of the concerns I had at the time from the first board meeting, I remember us saying that in cities like Limerick at the time, we didn't need rental accommodation that was 25% below the market. We just needed a lot more rental accommodation that was at the market, because these cities were then affordable. That was like 5 or 6 years ago. So
what did you find is the blockage? Is it that the commercial incentives aren't there for the developers? Is it a difficulty in accessing capital? What?
It's complicated, but I think the first block for me is the inability of the system to allow different outcomes or different solutions in different places. So you want to get money for cost rental, you know, which we've all talked about a lot. The government will not give money unless you beat the market by 25%. But the market rental in Cork or Galway or in Limerick is still lower than it is in Dublin. So if you start with that as your variable, you have to beat the market by 25%, and then you have to prove it's viable with the same subsidy you get in Dublin. You get yellow pack apartments outside of Ireland because the rent is lower for the equation, the spreadsheet. And you get gold-plated ones in parts of Dublin that are very attractive, like Malahide or South County Dublin. And we need to be more flexible in those. And my hope
is... So do you despair in that context? If you're looking to some extent to drive the kind of change that you would have promised electorally in the mayoral campaign, do you find yourself saying, well, this is ultimately impossible because the system is predicated on it not being deliverable?
No, I don't despair. I'm an optimist by nature, right? I mean, next Friday we have the Taoiseach and a number of the ministers coming down for the first meeting that they will have now to focus on Limerick with the mayor of Limerick and the officials in Limerick. And I'm hoping that we can actually have that conversation. And insofar as it makes sense for us to align with Dublin standards, of course we'll do that. That's the right thing. It's the right answer for Dublin, but it also is the right answer for Limerick. If we need to move a little bit differently, then why shouldn't we? We're currently looking at the cost, for example, on the transitional homes. It's about 100,000 less to build a transitional home of 29 square metres.
How do you mean a transitional home?
Well, I'll come back to what it is, but basically we want to put temporary houses in that people can rent while we're waiting to put in the permanent homes that they can buy.
Prefabs.
Prefabs are modular housing, right? But not sort of single-story modular housing. You now are building all across Europe modular housing, 3-4 stories. So they really look like apartment blocks. They're up in a much faster time. They may cost a little bit more because speed counts, but we're in a crisis. And we've been having this argument now with the and conversations with the department, which in fairness, they're being open to this, about trying to actually unlock at least 2,000 of those in time for the Ryder Cup, right? Which is the 1st of January 2027. It's a tall order and we need to move nimbly and quickly.
But is that to provide tourist accommodation for people coming over for the Ryder Cup, or is that to provide permanent housing that people can grow families in?
What I want to do is do it the same way as they've done in the more sensible cities that have approached places like the Olympics, where they build the Olympic Village, not for the Olympics, but actually for permanent housing and a neighbourhood beyond that, right?
And can you put in place all of the contingent infrastructure that is needed for that? The schools, the playgrounds, the green park facilities, the shopping centres, the retail areas. Does that lend itself to that kind of Olympic village development?
Yeah, so two things. One is we want to use the deadline of the Ryder Cup because we're going to have another 1,000 or 2,000 of workers just coming in for that year to build all this stuff. But then once they leave, that housing becomes available for key workers in Limerick, for young, you know, teachers that are coming to Limerick. It's available for people that have just separated and need to find a place to rent until they find where they're going to live after that. It's available for people who are right-sizing. We've 17 sites identified now in Limerick.
But do they become transient ghettos or do they become communities?
No. The idea is that we are putting them where we want to put permanent or have permanent communities. So we've identified 17 sites already across Limerick since the election. They can house about 2,000 of those. The conversations on Friday, I suppose I'm now telling them all what they're going to be hearing on Friday, will be if we're using those 17 sites for that, we need money to buy another 17 sites because this keeps going. Again, my budget's only a drop in the ocean in terms of the housing crisis. We need about homes for 45, 50,000 people in Limerick. So these 2,000 homes will only be a drop in the ocean in terms of the delivery over the next 15 years.
That's your total estimate. 50,000 is the number
Limerick
of houses
is supposed
needed
to grow by 2040 by almost 45,000-50,000 people on a city of 100,000. So that's a 50% growth.
A text saying, my son lives in Singapore. They had the same housing problem there and they solved it by banning Airbnb. Problem solved. If only we could have decision makers like that. Is there anything in that? Have you an issue with short-term
rentals? Yeah, we actually did an analysis about 2 or 3 years ago and I haven't looked at it back yet. I mean, the number of Airbnbs in Limerick is relatively small. And many of them, frankly, wouldn't actually be suitable for housing anyway. They're spread around the county. Again, it comes to a problem that I think we have in Ireland in the way we've been approaching this problem is, yes, there's a need to solve derelict properties and Limerick City Council is up at the top of the league of attacking those and doing CPOs. Yes, we have to deal with how do we deal with Airbnb, but they are such a small part of the solution that there are much easier and bigger parts of the solution that we should be able to drive on with.
Well, this goes to the next text, which raises a concern about that bigger solution. I work for a very large timber frame manufacturing company. Just to let you know, even if we double our output capacity, there's not enough timber frame erectors in Ireland to stand the frames up or enough block layers to wrap the structure once stood. A block layer under the age of 50 is very rare to see on a site because they've all left for Australia. So we need to find a source of skilled labour who are willing to hit the ground running. And that's the problem across the entire country, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you talk to the construction industry, they will tell you that it's not as bad as that and that there are builders there. I mean, a lot of the builders in Ireland were moved into commercial office spaces and larger units like that. And they're available. And look, when we badly needed builders, whatever it was in 2007, 2008, we seem to have an ability to attract lots of them. Of course, it's this vicious circle. If you don't have housing, people won't come to live in Ireland. Hence the idea of using transitional homes that are sort of, you know, get us over this hump into something else. But that said, these homes are like, you know, homes with 40, 50 year life. And the idea is that they're relocatable. So we can put them on a neighbourhood that we want to build out in Colbert, for example, right in the city centre of Limerick. When they've served their purpose there and people have moved into permanent housing, we can dismantle them, move them across to Myross, move them over to South Hill, the next neighbourhoods that we're building.
I'm sure, though, people will listen to that and try to picture a house that can be disassembled and moved and how that squares with being somewhere that you could actually call a home. Will this end up being semi-prefab squalor?
No, it won't. Remember, there are many, many people that come to a place like Limerick for 2 or 3 years, or maybe 5 years. They have no intention of staying there for the rest of their life. They're in to work in an FDI company. They're in to teach in the university. They may even be a student that's doing a postgrad, right? What we have to do is give them an accommodation that is in the right location, that has the right amenities around it. in the right location and all the amenities is where we want to put the permanent homes as well. Now, it will take us time to do that, but all of these sites are city centre sites. You should be able to live there without a car. So again, they're all more affordable for that reason.
Now, you're trying to solve this as directly elected mayor in Limerick. Undoubtedly, in every city and town and village around the country, there are people, whether they be county councillors, whether they be local officials, whether they be county managers, attempting to solve their own version of this problem. Is it soluble in that fashion, or do we need a central housing czar or whatever you call it to actually deliver this at a national level?
I don't have a problem with a centrally delivered solution, but I have a problem with the same solution being delivered everywhere in the country. That's what doesn't work. Right? Each location is different. We have neighbourhoods in Limerick that, for historical reasons of underinvestment, deprivation and whatever, are probably not places, to be brutally honest, where you would, if you're thinking of going to do a mortgage, want to go and decide to live there for 30 years. But you might live there for 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, as long as you know that if all the promises we're making about those neighbourhoods actually come into being, that you can then decide to, let's say, trade up in the sense of making a permanent decision to buy a home there with yourself and maybe your partner and your family. That's a uniquely Limerick dynamic that isn't necessarily present if you go into South County Dublin. And so the solution needs to be different. I think the biggest thing that this housing czar could make available is a much more rapid decision about these kind of solutions and the financing that's needed for it matched to those solutions. What we're doing in the mayoral budget I have is, you know, we have about 3 to 4 million of the money, of the 10 million, is designed to try and show that these ideas make sense. So, for example, I want to actually get two units, one 29 or 30 square metres, one 45 square metres, which is the national minimum size for an apartment, and ask people, walking through them, how much more money would you actually spend in rent to go and have 45 square metres rather than 30 in this location? Because I know I lived in apartments in Paris that were a lot smaller than 30 square metres, but I didn't care because everything around me was my life.
And you use that effectively as a beta test. You can then point it and say, this works, say, therefore
this
we should do more.
Testing.
I want to get you to, if you would be willing to put on your previous hat, thinking back to your time as Secretary General in Finance, because I wanted to get your take on the sort of the wider economic issues that are facing us. Minister of Finance, Pascal Donoghue, said in Europe earlier this week, he gave his take on the tariffs that we are staring down the barrel of.
Any economic impact of tariffs, it's bad for Ireland, it's bad for Europe, but it's also bad for global trade. But the scale of the economic impact will depend on the scale of tariffs that are applied, but will also depend on many other decisions that could be made in the time ahead that will also have an effect on the economic performance of Ireland and of Europe. It indicates that the effect of tariffs are ones where the biggest effect can be felt in the medium term, but any impact is going to be bad. It will be bad for jobs, it would be bad for growth, and it could be bad for inflation.
And a lot of the jobs that it might be bad for, if you look at medtech and if you look at the medicines, they're in and around the area for which you are now responsible. But thinking back to being SecGen, are we bunched?
I don't think so. I mean, I agree with what the Minister has said there. I mean, this is not going comfortable waters. And in fact, I don't think any of us who've been policymakers for the last 10, 15 years would have ever imagined a situation where we would have countries effectively doing acts of self-harm by putting on tariffs on their own. I mean, we tried this back here in Ireland in the De Valera era. It didn't work. McKinley, who President Trump is a great fan of, tried it before. It didn't work. But is it a case of just upping the ante in terms of wanting to sort of, you know, the art of the deal, so to speak, to take us to the edge of a precipice and then try and pull back in order to try and get people to, afraid of their own impacts on their own countries? I don't know. Or is it actually just bad policy that somebody's determined to drive through? If it is driven through, it is clearly, as the Minister said, likely to have a situation where anything that we're investing or building in Ireland and transferring over to other countries where their tariffs is going to become more expensive there, it may...
But is there anything we can do other than spectate and hope?
I think some of it is the diversification of our economy, right? I think we're moving into a world where Europe is way more important. We're having a little debate down in Limerick among our councillors who went to the United States for the travel for St. Patrick's Day. I think next year we'll probably have a very different approach, you know, where European capitals and European cities will become more important. And that's a 4-year, we don't know what will happen after another 3.5 years in the US. And, you know, is this a transitory thing or a permanent shift? But I think the idea is that Europe is a huge trading bloc that in many ways underutilized by Ireland. And I think that's where a lot of our focus has to be.
John, thank you very much. John Moore, Mayor of Limerick there.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.